Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Happy to have you. Thanks for trusting me with a half an hour of your life and time. I am, as you just heard, Bishop Randy Dean, a pastor, bishop of over a half a century, and a human being for 73 years. That's the more important part. To that end, as a human being, I believe that the power of love supersedes all powers, all other spirituality matters. So that's why I'm here every week to unpack the value, the pilgrimage, the marathon, the mountain climb, the moonshot of love. Today, I want to talk to you about spirituality as it relates to love is a vision for the world, not a constant drumbeat against the world. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So we're going to talk about being people of a spirituality that loves the world. But in order to get there, I do a couple of things here on a regular basis. And the first thing I like to do is to lead you in the Lord's Prayer. If you've been here before, you know I say this. It's the most prayed prayer in human history. Why is that important? Because as we pray these words, there's a great value in just imagining who else has prayed this same prayer with you. How many thousands, millions of people in various places, whether it be on a battlefield where soldiers are dying or in a high-level government meeting or the simplicity of hospital rooms where people are struggling for life. Every level of life, I think, has been part of how the Lord's Prayer comes in, because more often than not, people don't know how to pray. I don't always know how to pray. So the Lord's Prayer is that prayer. If you know it, join me. It is a treasure of a simple meditation. If you can just listen in and let your own heart join, I think it has a super cool value for you right here, right now. Here's what Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Yes, 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 and one more yes. Let's live that, shall we? Here's another thing I like to do when we come together. I want to share with you a creed that I wrote. It was originally for me a New Year's resolution, and it became something I now call Love's Creed. So let me read it to you in total, then I'll go back and I'll ask you to repeat after me. I think there's a lot of value here. Certainly nothing near the value of the Lord's Prayer, but a value at least for our time, our day. Here we go. Love's Creed. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, just a simple guide for living life by love alone. Here we go. Repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything. That is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There you have it. My email is randydeanministries@gmail.com. Give me a shout if you'd like a copy. It'd be a delight to send that to you. Okay, so I shared with you a moment ago. This is a pretty, I think, substantive topic that I'm taking on, and that is that the value of a genuine, loving spirituality, a spirituality that is love, holds a vision for the world, not some kind of vitriolic diatribe against it, always pounding against the world, how bad, evil, sick, and wrong they are. We got to do something about this big, bad world. There's so many people living so many different lifestyles. What are we going to do? They're going to corrupt our children. On that note, I just saw a little note I had made to myself last year about, I've heard this, they're going to corrupt our children. I just know any day now they're all going to become Elvis Presley. So in my generation, Elvis was swiveling his hips on TV shows and in concerts. And there were some cities that legally banned him from coming to sing and have concerts there. What does that tell you? Well, it tells you that whatever we're battling now is nothing new. And as such, we are really invited to learn a lesson, to dial back this diatribe, this vitriol that we have against the world, if we're people of faith or some kind of religious conviction, and to raise the temperature, lower the temperature on the shame and blame, but raise the temperature on love. Voices of faith are, we're at our worst when we obsess. And hear that carefully. I just think there's a lot of obsessing going on with explaining how wrong we think others are. They do this. They say that. They believe this. Look at them. They're corrupting our children. They're destroying our nation. We have to stand for righteousness. That is us, in church and people of faith, that's us at our worst. That's when we're, I believe, making grave errors as it relates to managing a spirituality that is for the world. Not a spirituality that finds its value primarily in being against certain political issues. I've often said, you know, if certain political issues went away that people have had over the years, they would have hardly enough energy to muster a spiritual sneeze if they didn't have something to go fight. When the truth is, our value, our greatest value, our highest value is love. But now, I want you to hear this carefully, and this is something that's validated in psychological studies and places that are much more researched in this than me, but that we, whatever the case may be, we love to blame for whatever reasons. Blame is I think it's a psychological downfall of many of us. I've fallen into it, and I know those of you listening can maybe do a little bit of a quick review in your mind where you've blamed everybody for everything that is going wrong in your life. But blame becomes this ego feed for how wrong everybody is and how right you are. Because just like in politics or faith and relationships, blaming and shaming others, it just means, well, they're all wrong and I'm right. Well, did you hear that? It means I'm always right and all others are always wrong. And see, that just pays off in some ugly bonuses to our ego. Now, we usually do that privately. We get out there and do it in public ways too, but privately we walk around with a meditation, nothing like the Lord's Prayer. But we walk around with a meditation of how right we are and how wrong everybody else is, and our ego just gets bigger and more unmanageable and less healthy to us. I do believe in the ego. I've talked to you about the ego here before. The ego is a substantive way of managing yourself. And to have a healthy ego is vital. But like anything, an ego that isn't managed well is going to degrade into something that is just self-supporting and not reaching out beyond yourself to others. I'm here to tell you today that the better choice for all of us is to live, love loud, and learn how to mute the volume of our blame and shame for all those people that we think are wrong. Mute that volume. Punch mute. Hit the volume button and turn it off, and raise the voice of love. In a world that is, Mother Teresa said, there's more hunger for love in this world than there is for bread. And Mother Teresa knew a whole lot about people who were starving for bread. And she believed love was the greater starvation. Now, I'm not just being naive here. I'm not just being a little simplistic boy. I'm too old to be a little simplistic boy about the stuff like this. I believe that Jesus meant it when he said in his prayer, John 17, 21 through 23. He said, Father, that they may, they being believers, people who follow him, may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I'm in you. That they could be one in us, so that the world would believe that you sent me. Whoa, full stop. What? There's a biggie. See, the world's not going to believe that God sent Jesus if all we do is have this constant drumming of a vitriolic diatribe against the world. Jesus' prayer was that the world would believe that you sent me. Let them be one. See, it's the opposite of how we behave in so much of our activities and church and faith. I don't have time to unpack that any more than that for this moment, because I've got some distance to go here. So hang in there with me. Here's the rest of Jesus' prayer. So that the world may believe you sent me, and the glory you've given me, I have given them, so that they may be one, just as we are one. That's the Trinity. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and you loved them just as you loved me. Did you hear my favorite topic there? Love. That the world would know that you loved them just as you loved me. First John says, we love God because God first loved us. That the world would know, that the world would know that you sent me because they are one. And how are they going to be one? That you loved them just exactly as specifically, not similar to, no, just as you loved me. How did God love his own self in his son? Well, with completeness, with beauty. And that beauty was so complete that no matter what Jesus prayed, no matter what he sought to do to glorify his Father, it was done. And why was that? Because there was such complete and virtue of love in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There was no separation. May we be one as Jesus and the Father are one, so that the world could believe. So I don't know of any, I'm just going to speak on behalf of Christian groups. I don't know of any Christian group that has a really hardcore idea that says, we don't want the world to believe that God sent Jesus. Now, they may have hardcore other, I'm going to call it ignorance, where they say, well, only a certain amount of people are chosen, and the rest are going to die and go to hell forever and burn in eternity, which is, I think, dysfunctional and broken. But even with that broken view, there are those out there who believe that the world should know that God sent Jesus to this world. Now, whatever the case may be and whatever else we do, I'm here telling you that fighting the world, blaming the world, searching the world for how bad, evil, sick, and wrong they are and how they're affecting our children, our culture, our nation, doing all of that energy, putting out all that energy is a waste of time. And worse, it is actually, it's put us in reverse. Read that chapter in John 17. Meditate on it. And the prayer of Jesus, this intercessory prayer of Jesus, is phenomenal. It's shattering to so many behaviors that have become normative in far too much of 21st century. Again, I'm just going to speak for Christianity. And speaking of, I've beat this drum myself here to just call us to attention that 40 to 45 million people have left the church and other religious institutions here in the United States. They've left it since the turn of the century. We're being blindsided by a snail here in the church, by shrinking numbers. For every five pastors who retire or quit, there's only two or three coming in to take their place. So the church is dying. It's anemically dying, and I mean the church, small c, the large c, the real church of Jesus Christ, will never die. Oh, it may fade off into the shadows and have to bide their time until they recover from the ignorances of the small c church. But here we are, and we're seeing that here in the good old U.S. of A., the church is languishing. There are far fewer people attending churches and places of faith here in the 21st century than there were in my lifetime, early in my lifetime, far fewer people. So I don't want to go any deeper into that except to just remind you all that as I stand here today in this recording, I stepped away from a pastorate of 30 years back the first day of 2019. And at that end of those 30 years in that one particular church, I was also in my early days of my 50th year in ministry, and I've continued in ministry. But I've determined that I'm not going to just turn a blind eye or a deaf ear to what's happening and how we have lost our footing and we're sinking for lack of the true knowledge of one blessed, beautiful thing, love. And again, not unicorn and happy, slappy balloons in the air, cotton candy. No. I mean love that is at the tiller. Love that is pushing the lawnmower. Love that is climbing the mountain. Love that is swimming the ocean. Love that is preparing for a moon launch. Love that doesn't have an off button. It is on full tilt. And as I said at the start, may we love in a way that is completely without a volume on it, but the volume isn't just loud for loud's sake, but it's clear, it's specific. The EQs are drawn into a balance so that the world can hear us. But they are certainly not going to hear us. They are not going to hear us if we are in a constant vitriolic diatribe against them. What they hear is our self-righteous banter and bickering about how bad they are and how good we are. So for whatever else we say about it, that's where it lands. But in the prayer of Jesus in John 17, he was very clear. Make them one, that the world would know that you have loved me as love them as you have loved me. I don't know how to make that any clearer except in the crystal clear, diamond shimmering beauty of the words of Jesus. All right, so let me give you three simple, and I believe there's sweet implications of everything I just said to you about this great power of love. Three implications. First of all, I do not believe, this is me, you can believe what you want to believe, but I'm here to help you understand what it is that's tearing us apart. First of all, we were never called to go tell everybody they're just bad people and they're all going to hell. We were not here to show who we are and show them how bad they are. We are here to show them what great love we carry without a need to tell others who they're not and who we are. Let's demonstrate love. We were never supposed to go out just pounding the drum of hell. How do I know that? Well, if that was supposed to be the drum we pounded, it seems to me Jesus would have taught us in the Lord's Prayer, you ought to be praying very specifically against hell. But he did say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not a single word about hell. Not a single word of, if they don't do this, they're going to turn and burn. If they don't turn, they're going to burn. There it is. No. If that had been an important value, I think Jesus would have talked about that, just at least briefly, in his, here's how you pray. All right. A second sweet implication is, and this one I love, and I love it because I wrote it, but I love it because it's true. Here it is. We were always invited to be an awakened spiritual energy that attracted positive attention and inspired a vision of God that was bright and positive. Yeah, we were always invited to be this energy of conspicuous brightness and positivity. In the little book of Zechariah back in the Old Testament, there's a bit passage there. It says, in that day, 10 people from different languages will take the sleeve of a Jew. And in that day, that was the chosen people. So you can, by implication, maybe call yourself, if you're a follower of Christ, a chosen person. But in the context of Zechariah, it says, in that day, 10 people will take your sleeve and say, oh, take us with you, because we have heard God is with you. That's a phenomenal prophetic idea, isn't it? Meaning, we're not going to go chasing 10 people while they run away from us. No, 10 people will run to us and grab our sleeve, metaphorically speaking, take a handful of who we are and say, oh, I've heard God is with you. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to know you because what you do is so bright and positive. You see, spirituality, as I started this whole thing, spirituality, in that is a loving spirituality, is a vision for the world around us, a vision of how the world could improve. Excuse me. So here we are, seeking to improve through positivity and brightness. Let your light so shine before people that God may see your good works and glorify God. That's another little prophecy of Jesus. I'm convinced we were always invited to be an awakened spiritual energy that attracted positive attention and inspired a vision of God with brightness and positivity. All right, third but not but certainly not the least of these three implications I'm talking about here, that there are no group of people, no race, no sexual orientation, no outsider is excluded from this love feast. Nobody is excluded. So if there's anyone out there that you may have concerns about, your call is not to go battle them and fight them and Bible verse them to death. No. Our battle is not to be Paul said, our battle is not with flesh and blood, and that's where we go out and go battling flesh and blood, which I don't get it. But spiritually speaking, our invitation is to run the red carpet out. The invitation for 10 to come grab my sleeve and say, I want to go with you. I like what you are. I love what you do. I see how you live, and I want that. All right. So in that context, that's why I'm here. Now, I've unpacked quite a bit here, and I hope I've stirred a few thoughts in your minds, and I hope most of it's positive, and I hope you can struggle with it and wrestle with it. Go ahead, wrestle with it. But let's end the war against the world that Jesus said, the world will know that you have sent me, O Father, if the people of God are one. So if I could just leave you with one thought here, kind of as an aside, oh, please, those of you who call yourself followers and believers in Jesus, let's be one. I was so blessed as a kid coming into faith in high school. I got to witness a Pentecostal church that I was just kind of stumbled into, where they were enjoying the company of beautiful Catholic brothers and sisters, priests and nuns who were coming to some specific services we were holding. And I saw nuns, for instance, dancing with joy in some of those services. It was, yeah, I know that sounds uncomfortable, but I got to tell you, it transformed my way of thinking about what the church is. In a Pentecostal church with Catholic nuns who just sort of gently held the bottom of their habits up so they could just very gently dance a little bit for joy. It was, gosh, that's such a beautiful picture in my mind. I've got a perfect digital video in my brain. But going forward from that, I've also had the privilege from that little seed in my mind as a teenager, going forward to being part of ecumenical groups and the body of Christ being one, working with Lutherans and Methodists and Catholics, working with anybody and everybody, covenant people, you name it. I've sought to be one with the body of Christ. Why? Because then the world would look in and say, oh, look, that's God's gift to the world. That's Jesus in these people. They're the body of Christ. So the world could look and say, oh, they don't just hate each other. All, however many denominations there are, I think I've read somewhere, it's like 40,000 denominations here in the United States. Whew, that's a long way from one, isn't it? And you can say, well, boy, that's just not possible. Well, Jesus loved to pray impossible stuff, like Lazarus, come forth. And the dead man came out of the grave. So Jesus was all into that impossible stuff. Things that are impossible to humans are possible with God. And in the mind of Jesus, that we would be one? Listen to me. Listen, oh baby, listen. Jesus gets his prayers answered. And I want to be there when those prayers are answered, at least on some level in my own lifetime. All right, well, I've got to bring this in for a landing, and I so appreciate you giving me a half an hour of your life and time. I am here to tell you, one of our problems is we make this mistake routinely that we think we still have time. But I'm asking you to be present, be kind, love more, and love now. I quoted Mother Teresa earlier, and I'm going to quote another idea from her. Go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Yeah, there's that bright positivity, a spiritual energy that's full of love. And here's what Randy Dean says. Let's go out and do something beautiful, shall we? Ugly is getting done to death. It's time for people of love to be people of beauty. Now let's close with a deep breath and saying the three most holy words in the human language. Take a deep breath with me, would you? One, two, three, inhale, and exhale. And now find somebody, somewhere, awkward as it may be, look them in the eye and say, I love you. You may not change the whole world today, but you're going to change somebody's world if you lay those three words out there with authenticity and intention. God bless you all. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. It's been my pleasure to be with you. And may you rise and shine to the love of God. Happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.